Mira Nakashima is a trained architect and the director of the Nakashima Studio in New Hope, Pennsylvania, where she makes her own furniture in addition to overseeing production of her father's designs. She is also the author of Nature, Form, and Spirit, The Life and Legacy of George Nakashima, a gorgeously illustrated account of her father's career. Mira Nakashima, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
When you were a kid, did you learn how to make things by hand early on?
Oh, yes. When I was a kid, what I have in my memory is that we were very poor. We started out, and my mother described this to someone. I didn't realize that the cottage that I remember growing up in, I knew it didn't have running water. It had a cold water pump, but I didn't realize it didn't have electricity. I didn't realize that it had been abandoned for many, many years. We had a real ice box in which the ice man came and delivered ice to the ice box.
Wow.
And I never thought that there was anything strange about it. We had a wood coal stove in the kitchen where my mother cooked and also heated the entire house. And so I grew up pretty simply.
Now, your parents were of Japanese descent and were forcibly relocated from the West Coast to an internment camp in Idaho during World War II in 1942. Even though both of them were born in the States. Do you have any memories of that period in the internment camp?
Well, Mother says I was 6 weeks old when they uprooted us, so
uh-huh.
I don't remember much. I think I was still under or around 2 years old when we moved from there, so I don't remember a whole lot. But Mom used to describe to me that I had a packing box that was my playpen, and I used to stand on my dolls in order to see out the top of the packing box. And, you know, it was just home. I didn't know any better.
There's a great picture in the book of you with your father, at least playing around with woodworking tools. Were you really apprenticing at that age?
I wasn't consciously apprenticing. That was taken by the War Relocation Authority in around 1945, trying to justify the fact that they had relocated us from the West Coast and to prove that we were really doing quite well. And it may
Oh, really? So that was a propaganda picture?
Yeah, pretty much.
There are some other pictures in the book of your father woodworking, and it almost seems as though being in prison for a few horrible years didn't stop his commitment to his craft at all.
No, in fact, I think it intensified it because that's all he had. He just had scrap wood and very few materials, very few tools, but he did have the companionship of this Japanese-trained carpenter. And between the two of them, Dad said he was a carpenter's apprentice and the carpenter was his apprentice because Dad knew more about design. And thank goodness Dad was not discouraged by the whole situation. He decided to make the best of it. It was interesting. We had a show of furniture that went up the same time as my book came out in the fall of 2003, which moved to Idaho, the Sun Valley Art Center, in the summer of last year. And I went, and they wanted to get me to give a talk and series of lectures and so forth, and which I did. And in the process, I was able to visit Minidoka, the place where we were interned, for a day, and reconnected with a whole lot of people, some of whom remembered working with my dad.
Wow.
And it was just a very emotional experience, even just visiting what was virtually just desert and knowing, just finding out what had happened there and how the people were and just sort of unearthing that whole phase of my history that I didn't know about.
What kinds of things did he make there?
One of the professors at Boise State University had been researching the Minidoka internment for a number, I guess, 30 years. And he had a whole bunch of files of different things. And he came across, he met us for lunch and passed me this packet of information that he had gleaned from all these documents. And one of them was this little sketch of an ideal room, which my father had designed and made, or at least almost made. I think he left shortly after this design became available for everybody. But he had rearranged these little rooms that we had in the barracks so that they were more habitable.
Huh.
He changed the wire bed frames, and he pulled out rushes from the riverbanks and gathered enough of planks of packing crates and so forth to make adjustable kinds of furniture because there wasn't much space. There was a table that I guess went up against the wall, and there was a bed that folded up, and you know, different kinds of furniture that were very flexible and made of, you know, whatever materials he could get his hands on.
So he was even in that horrible dystopian place imposing his utopian vision, I guess.
Yeah, he sure was.
Wow.